Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
You know, we're going to listen to a testimony from Zamzam. And this was a Christian, a Muslim woman who had an encounter with Jesus Christ. It's the interview is a little bit lengthy, but let me tell you, it is absolutely powerful when you hear from her own words, her journey on how she met Jesus Christ. It's powerful. Listen up.
I was born in a family where Islam was a beautiful thing. And I was taught in a true light of Islam. To me, Allah was like my master, and I am a subject, and I would do things to please Allah all the time, and that made me happy. And I mean, it's hard for a girl of like 12 years of age to fast, you know? And I would do that without any complaints, and I would be the happiest person doing that. So Allah was my focus, you know, like my master. It's a supreme power, you know. I was told that we don't need any mediators. We just have to ask Allah, and He listens to us. So I had full faith, and I was confident that my prayers are heard, and there is somebody who's called Allah above, and He answers them. I couldn't compare any other religion to Islam. It was so good to me. So I had no way of getting into anything else. But I think God has His own plans. When I got married, my husband was from a Christian background. His mom was a Christian. And I was very depressed to know that a person who is a Muslim has been converted to Christianity, and that was a great burden on my heart. That gave me a goal that I should do something. I should get into this family and bring them back to Islam. My mother-in-law, she passed away after her death. Pastor came from where my mother-in-law used to worship, and they came to visit us. Then they were so sweet. And then, you know, I said, okay, I had questions now. I wanted to ask about Bible, why it's like this and things like that. I wanted to know their views. He said, okay, Zamzam, why don't we start a Bible study so that you can have all your questions and we can answer all your questions. I said, that's fine, you know, it's fair enough. And I thought I was very intelligent, you know, because the background I had, I thought I'm a very intelligent person, and Christians know nothing, you know. They are confused people, I thought. But I went, and when it went on for a year, the Bible study, and after that they said, now what do you say, Zamzam? I said, oh, now, before I came to you guys thinking there is some hope, you know, but after knowing your religion, I have no interest. So he said, okay, we'll be praying for you. Then that made me more angry than anything else. I said, why do these guys say that we are praying for you? Am I such a big sinner that everybody is praying for me? So when I came back home, I complained to my husband, and then I said, okay, I'm not going to go for Bible study, but I would like to do a comparative study of Islam and Quran. I mean, Bible and Quran. So he said, okay, it's okay if you want to do it. So we started doing, sincerely, we would compare both the books and start jotting down a few points. Naturally, all good points came from Quran and nothing came out of Bible. But one night, like after 10 days, we were doing it, and one night I sat, did the comparative study, and I told my husband, I said, there's one good thing that I have found. The Bible talks about love of God. Where else we don't find it in Quran? Of course, it directs you towards the love, but like it doesn't say directly, God is love, God is forgiving, God is like, you know, you do anything, but in the name of Jesus, your sins are forgiven. It doesn't say that. Even if you are a good, pious Muslim, you offer namaz, you do everything, and you die, still you don't have that assurance that you have salvation. Your sins are forgiven and you are going to heaven. There is no such thing promised to a Muslim. I said, this one good thing is their God is love. So I jotted that point down. And then that night I said, you know, now I always appreciated when Christians prayed. You know, this prayer spontaneously, and we Muslims don't do that. We pray in our hearts quietly, especially women. So I said, okay, let me pray tonight the way Christians do. So I knelt down. I wanted to do the way they do it. I knelt down and I started praying. And that night, as I was trying to pray, I felt as if there was a lock on my mouth and it has been unlocked. And I was referring to all those Bible verses which I had never thought that I would remember. And like the words were flowing from my mouth, you know, like more than 50, 60 Bible verses I was reciting. I think I knelt down at 9:30 in the night, and by the time I finished, it was 3 o'clock in the morning. So I was not tired, my knees didn't hurt, and I was like fresh. And that night I said, Jesus, if you are true, reveal yourself to me. Always I said, Allah, if Jesus is true, show it to me. I want from you directly. I don't want to take it from Christians. So that was the night, like, you know, I was not on guard. God was watching me. He said, it's enough, Samson. You have been trying too hard to protect yourself. Now let go. So I just said, Jesus, you are true. Reveal yourself to me. And the moment I said that, like my tongue was unlocked and I was free in spirit. And when I got up after the prayer, after so many hours, I got up and I was still fresh, and I felt a joy in my heart, and I just wanted to tell the whole world that I'm a Christian and I'm happy. And I wanted to call the pastor, I wanted to call those missionaries that I've been friendly with. And my husband said, you're mad, you're crazy, you can't call them at this hour of the night, do it in the morning. Anyway, I was happy, you know, the joy was bubbling out, it was oozing out of my system. And I got up in the morning, my husband left the house like 5 o'clock in the morning, and I was not going to be like, you know, sleep or anything. I went and took the Bible, and when I read and read and read, and I suddenly felt that the whole room was lit up with a glow, a light that was not a light that we can describe in words. And it was amazing. I was like taking a shower bath in that glow. And I don't know how long I stayed. And to my surprise, my children were very small that time. None of them came near to me. None of them asked for a glass of water. Telephone didn't ring. Not even the postman rang the bell. Not the milkman came to our door. It was like I was totally cut off from the world, and I was having a fellowship with my Lord. And that's how I experienced the power of and the love of Jesus Christ.
That's powerful. You're listening to Zamzam's testimony and how she came to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we're coming to the end of the first hour, and in the extra hour, we're going to pick up more about what she encountered, the man, Jesus Christ, and how just the love of God made a way for her. The love of God is so powerful. Well, you know, her testimony was so powerful because it was a major, major encounter with God.
Mm-hmm.
Totally, totally major encounter. And it was so powerful that for a whole year, well, actually, she was a Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
And it all started with her mother-in-law. We're talking about before, you know, holding a piece of the truth, the power of one person, what they can,
your effect, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the mother-in-law had a light. Yeah. It doesn't matter if you have a, you know, a huge light. It doesn't matter if you have a night light.
Mm-hmm.
What matters is that you have light. The light.
Yeah, right.
And because she had a light that was kept burning,
mm-hmm.
this Muslim woman was able to see the light.
Right.
I mean, you can never discount your walk with God. You can never discount, you know, your relationship with the Lord and the effect that it will have on people. Others, I mean, right. It's just absolutely powerful. So her husband came from a Christian background, and she goes to meet with the pastor after the mother-in-law passed away. Mm-hmm. It was interesting how she said it was They were so sweet.
Yeah.
They were so sweet. It's the little things. It's the God in you that you don't even realize. It's just jumping out at folks, and that's what they realize. They realize, wow, there's something different about you. And that little visit, that little time, if you ever think that, you know, oh, this is just one little kind act, or, you know, will they really appreciate this thank you note, or if I just drop by and drop this off, you know, is it worth the trouble? Yes, yes, it's worth the trouble. Here's this pastor and his wife who stopped by. I'm sure they were busy like everyone else is busy, but they decided to take time out of their life, their busy schedule, to visit with the family who had just lost a loved one, to be there, to carry each other's burdens and that way fulfill the law of Christ, right? And to be there for them, and just, and they were, she, her testimony is, and they were so sweet.
Yeah.
And as a result of that, she says, I have questions. I have questions about this Christianity. I've got questions. And I love his approach. Well, let's just do a Bible study. A year-long Bible study.
That's right. Well, I think is encouraging about that, too, is like even after that year when she's just like, okay, I don't think Christianity is what I'm looking for, and she closes the door, and it's just like that love where the pastor says, we'll be praying for you.
Yeah.
And then she was like, what? What do you mean you're praying for me? And it's just being having that continual love even when others don't love you. Just continue to say, I'm just going to give you love regardless. Right. That's when it just stands out the most.
It is genuine. Yeah. I mean,
just being real.
You don't want to get into a proving match, a shouting match with someone. I mean, what is that all about? It's just, it's love is, the love of God is that powerful and that compelling. It's all you need to do. I mean, they didn't go off in their flesh and say, we spent an entire year in the Bible. You know what I'm saying? We'll catch you later.
What do you think about what you said in the first hour? It's like you don't have an argument with a lie. It's just like, here's the truth. And you just allow the power of the truth to expose the lie. Because the truth, you know, it's I think you have said it many times before. It's like the person with the argument is at the mercy of the person with the experience.
Isn't that powerful?
Yeah, because that's the truth.
Listen, I can't give you theological reference right now, but what I can tell you that yesterday I was blind, but today I can see. Right. Take that up with whoever, you know what I mean? But he's good for me. You know, this is good. And you're absolutely right, Steve. Yeah.
And it's the exact same thing what the disciples said, and it was in the book of Acts when they said, all we can do is tell you what we have seen the Lord
what
do.
We've heard, yeah.
Yep, yeah. See what we've heard. And all I can do is tell you what Jesus Christ has done in my life.
Exactly.
That's the power of your testimony.
And let's keep it there. Absolutely. Don't add anything to it, right?
Yeah.
What has he done? And that's a testimony. It's so important we talk, especially about our testimony when we're coming to the Lord. Our testimony is, this was my life before Jesus.
Yeah.
Typically, that's probably a wreck, you know? Then there's a clear, crystal clear line of demarcation of the day or the season or the time period where you encountered Jesus.
Yeah.
And then there is the after.
Right.
And the after should be the complete opposite of what your life was like before you had the clear demarcation of line of encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because Jesus doesn't come to make our life better. Jesus comes to literally change and revolutionize our life. How do you know you had an encounter? How do you know you fully have come to the Lord? How do you know he's Lord of your life? Because you can look back at who you used to be and say, who is that guy? Who was that girl? And say, oh, I feel sorry for that guy. I feel sorry for that girl. You look at pictures and say, wow, that was me? That was me. I used to think like that. I used to do that. And that's an encounter with Jesus. I mean, today there's a gospel being preached that, hey, anything's accepted. And if you accept Jesus, it's just the better you. You know, it's a 2.0 upgrade. It's the way to a better life. And it's the way to life. Jesus doesn't promise us a better life. He promises life and life more abundant.
Right.
But you cannot have life outside of Jesus, true life.
That's right.
You can have an existence, but you can't have life, because life comes from the true life source, and it's only in God. It's only in Him. And so she comes to the end of this Bible study and says, "Oh no, my conclusion is I'm staying with Islam."
Yeah.
You know, it's a wrap. Thank you very much. You know, I'm intelligent, and I figured this thing out. And then she decides that she's going to do a comparative study of the Quran and the Bible.
Yep. Yeah.
And she spends some time. I encourage you that if you're a seeker, seek God out.
Right.
Take the time between you and God. I often talk about the research, the research people take just to buy a TV, Steve, Pat, the research, LED, LCD, 42 or 60, plasma or not, LG, Sony, which one, stand, no stand.
Right, right.
Best Buy, Target, wherever. It's like, wait a minute. How much did you study this and how many feet? And do we hang it on the wall? And what about the surround sound? And do we want to put it in this corner? And do we have to arrange this furniture? Wait a minute. All of your mind is consumed in this research about a TV?
Yeah.
And you won't spend 5 minutes?
Searching out God.
Searching out what would happen in eternity?
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't think about that before, but until someone introduced it to me, I thought, well, that kind of makes sense. You know what I mean? It does make sense. Listen, life is but a vapor. We're going to talk about the brevity of life, hopefully before the end of the extra hour, but life is but a vapor. You're here today, you're gone tomorrow, and you want to know where you will live in eternity. You know, when we pass away, we just stop living on this earth, but we will live forever.
Yeah,
that's right.
We will live forever. So she has this comparative study, and she was a seeker of truth, a seeker of what was right. She wanted to know. She goes through this search and says, the Quran had a lot of good points. So she says, this is her testimony.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, there's one thing I can't shake out of this Bible. I can't, this one thing. They talk about the love of God.
Yeah.
It was a new concept to her. Mm-hmm. Her testimony is that it's not mentioned in the Quran. The forgiveness of sin is not mentioned in the Quran. Let me tell you something. It's all about the love of God.
That's right.
It's all about love is compelling. I like to say, people always talk about the love of a parent. And let me tell you, if you're a parent, you'll love your children. I mean, it's an amazing feeling. They like to say the love of a mother. You know, all these great, powerful bonds. Let me tell you, there is no love like Jesus.
Yeah.
No human being can remotely come close to the love of God. You know, Steve, people will forgive you, but they may and probably not forget what you've done to them or against them. When you take the love of God, that he will forgive and forget and not count your sins against you, him. I mean, they're erased.
As far as the east is from the west.
I just have a question. I just have
how do you
just,
do that?
I just have one question. Who can love you like that? Who can love you like that? Who? Who? And if I said this once, I said it 1,000 times, fellas. I mean, I'm not in a position. Me and this guy here, I'm not in a position to turn that type of love away. You know what I mean? I mean, he offers this amazing love, forgiveness, guilt completely gone, freedom of depression. When we come to the realization, though, it's a byproduct when we just come to repentance and realize that I was on the wrong path. Mm-hmm. I was away from God. I didn't repent of my sins. A lot of people want, I'll sign up for the free guilt, depression. Yep, that's got to go. Bondage, you can take that too, Lord. But no. We're not trading cards here. He's not giving out free benefits, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
All of those things happen when you make him Lord, when you make him your best friend.
When you acknowledge it.
Yes.
Turn away from it.
When you leave this life of sin and refuse to have any other lover but Jesus. When you throw back the high school jacket and the ring, you say, nope, I don't want any of the stuff that the devil gave me.
Yeah.
All right,
I'm done with that. I want everything that's Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So she encounters the love of God, and then she does something that's really powerful, guys. She begins to talk to Jesus personally. Yeah. Now, mind you, she had been filling herself with the Word of God, with the truth, for over a year. Then she takes the time to do a comparative study.
Yeah.
Okay? And then she does something real radical.
She talks and to him.
She talks to him.
She talks to him.
But she just doesn't talk to him, guys. I believe that she prayed the most radical, the most powerful prayer that anyone on the face of the earth can pray. Now, let me tell you, there's a lot of prayers that go up every single day. And there's a lot of prayers that you can pray. And some people, a lot of people, don't get their prayers answered. But I promise you that there is one prayer that will be answered every single time if you pray it with utmost sincerity.
Through your heart.
Lord, God, reveal yourself to me. It's the most powerful prayer you could ever pray.
Yeah.
It is the one guaranteed prayer he is going to answer.
Yeah.
And so she has this encounter. I remember, Steve, walking on campus, on the college campus I was in. I was totally away from God. Had a relationship with the Lord in the past, but at this point I was totally away from God, totally lost, deceived, thinking that, you know, a form of God was enough, that I knew, since I knew enough about God, and I had grew up in a quote-unquote Christian home, that that would be, I knew the truth.
All right, that'll do.
Yeah, that'll do. I knew of the truth, but I didn't know the truth. Huge difference. Huge difference. There's many people in America walking around with an idea of God. They've heard the Bible stories. They went to Sunday school. They went to vacation Bible school. They know who Jesus is, but they don't know him. And I'm going to tell you, friend, that's not enough. Because we know that many, many will say to me, say to him on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not? And he's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you.
Right.
It's not just enough for you to know God. Let me tell you something. He better know you.
That's right.
You may not say God, and say, who that? God, who that? I don't know you. Now, who that them saying? Who that calling me Jesus?
Right.
I don't know you, brother. I don't know you. He has to know you.
Yeah.
So I remember walking this campus. I was a sacred-like exam, you know? And I needed to know. You know, I needed to figure this out. I needed to have some concrete, you know, resolve in myself. And I needed to know. And I tell people, listen, don't settle for, you know, I kind of, listen, I needed to know, like, I know that the grass is green and the sky is blue. You know what I mean? I needed to know that, A, Jesus, you're really real. Two, I want to know that you love me. I want to know. And three, you'll forgive me of all my sins. I had a lot of sins. And I remember this green JanSport backpack I had in my back. I was walking, you know, these long lengths to get to class. And I'd pray this prayer. I mean, I've prayed this. I can't tell you how many times. God, if you're really real. God, if you're really real. Show yourself to me. I need to know. I need to know. I need to know. Show yourself to me. I got to know. I can't tell you. I don't have a number. I cannot tell you. That was my prayer every day, all day, for a season in my life. And you fast forward the tape, and when I encountered God and I met the Lord, boy, did I know. I mean, it was just such a radical change in my life. I mean, it was like night and day, and never look back, you know, and that's what God has for you. God wants to answer that prayer for you. Listen, you've been searching and you've been looking, and maybe you've been familiar with God. You got to shake that familiarity with God off you. Let me tell you something. You're not going to get close to God by hanging on to what you learned as a child and what you've picked up from here or there, what you saw on TV. You saw the Bible series, and now you're edumacated. Now you know something. Now you know the Bible. You're not going to have a true encounter with God until you really go after him and pray this really scary prayer. Not scary. This really powerful prayer. God, reveal yourself.
That's powerful because it's from your heart.
Yes.
It's not from your head. And that that's the power of that testimony. Is like she spent a year. People have spent years. They spent decades seeking God with their head.
Yes.
But it's until there was a guy, you think about just the powerful encounters. There's a guy that I had talked to, a 10-minute conversation, and he was a believer. And he said, forgive me, I can't think of the specific years, but he said, it took me like 58 years to make that 18-inch journey.
Oh, yeah.
From my head to my heart. And that is the powerful journey that God is wanting for you to take. Get out of your head, because God has said that to me many times. Get out of your head. And I battle with that, because it's like God doesn't want you to figure him out, because he can't.
Exactly.
He can't figure him out.
How can we?
He just wants your heart.
Like the pop can revelation?
Yes. And what he means by that pop can revelation is like, imagine God is all the oceans is in all the world, all the water. And the mental capacity of your head is a Coca-Cola can or a soda can or pop can, however you want to call it. And, you know, it'd be kind of stupid to try to pick up however much water you could in your own pop can and figure out God.
Like you exactly. got to figure it out.
Yeah. And the thing is, though, is God just wants you to seek him with your heart and just say, you know, I just want personal with you. I want to know you personally, and just show me. I don't want to have all these debates, conversations. I just want to know it in my quiet time, that when I close my eyes, that you're real. And just like you're saying, God, just speak to me.
Mm. Absolutely. That's it takes humility.
Starts. Yeah.
It takes humility. And why settle? Why settle for the old stuff or what? Yeah. Listen. You know, religion is not appealing. You know, I wouldn't want religion either, but I want Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
I want Jesus. You were made and designed to walk with him, to have an encounter with him. He loves you.
That's it.
Yeah. He has a plan for your life. He wants to use you, forgive you. I mean, his heart burns for you. There is no other life outside of him.
That's right.
And I want to encourage you, if you're listening all over the world and you've searched and you're hearing about this love of God, let me tell you, he really, really does love you. He really, really does have a plan for you.
Yeah.
He knew you before the foundations of the earth. And the Bible says that he knit you in your mother's womb. You're no accident, friend. And you're not even listening to VFN Radio today by accident.
Mm-hmm.
It's all part of God's divine plan to say, yep, that's you. I got my eye on you and I love you. Open up your heart and say yes.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the daily VFN Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with your mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.